Okay. That's what I wanted. Comes out of Ezekiel 37. Now, the process here is if I take this and that's it. There it is. This area right up above the red light here. This is the time that we're talking about, right in here. Okay? Last week we talked about Nehemiah going back and building the temple. Okay? So now this is the Lord talking to Ezekiel in 37. And the fundamental part that's here is it's a fascinating landscape we encounter in the vision and the transition of a physical, and we delve into the depths of a human soul in this. What is dead can come back to life. I think the picture speaks for itself. We are talking about whatever God owns, God can bring back to life. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. So, join me while we explore the vision of dry bones, the meaning, the reminder of hope and limit that we trust in the sovereignty of God's breath. Okay? Lesson one would be the desolation of God's people. Let's see here. I've apparently lost my mouse. Oh, there it is. Desolation of God's people. So if we go to this, Ezekiel 1 and 2. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them and round about. And behold, they were very many and in open, and lo, they were very dry. So this is the desolate bones. Now, look at these bones as a provision of God. They're there. God knows they're there. He sees them there. They're there. Just real simple. They just exist. Okay? So, the challenge comes now in number one. The dry bones are a symbol of God's property, God's provision, God's people also at this same time. Now, we go, will these bones live again? The challenge God threw down to Ezekiel. Will these bones live again? Can these bones live again? That was his challenge. So what was Ezekiel's answer to this? Will these bones live again? In verse 3, he said, "Unto you, son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest." God knows. Amen. So Ezekiel is conceding. He's not trying to be smarter than God. He's not trying to assume. But remember something very important right now. We are in a vision. He lifted Ezekiel out of prayer and took him in a vision. So when you go with this message, realize we're talking about a vision. It's a metaphor. The dry bones are a metaphor. So the challenge was, will these bones live again? And Ezekiel said, only you know. So the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's analyze the role of the Holy Spirit in this context, recognizing that it is divine breath that can revive what is dead. How do we seek the resolution of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our community? So, here, lesson two, we're proclaiming 9 and 10. Then he said unto me, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the winds, the breath upon these slain, and they may live." So what's God telling us? What's God telling us? We need to proclaim this proclamation. If we know it's in God's Word, we know that our problem aligns with God's Word, we have to speak God's Word over our problem. Today, the problem we're talking about is how do we bring life back into those things that belong to God. We're asking that God bring this church back alive. Amen? Amen. We want to see God's building purposed for God. So now, He's provided this building. He's provided this church. He's provided some resources that we could plan logically to move forward in His name to do what? Exactly what we were commissioned to do. Put the Word out to the world. Our world happens to be within 3 degrees of ourselves. It's our community right now. So what are we saying? Again, the Word. Ezekiel said the Word over what God asked him to. In other words, he spoke over the bones and said, God said, you will come alive. So in verses 4 and 6, what do we have? Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay suet upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know I am the Lord. Prophesy. Prophesy. Speak it. I seen a movie just recently called The Prayer Closet, I think it was, Prayer Warrior, and the woman in the movie was trying to help another woman in her relationship with God and with her family and everything else. And what this woman did in the very first third of the movie is she stepped out on the front porch and said, Satan, you can't have my house, and you can't have my man, and you can't have my children. That's what she was doing. She was proclaiming it out loud. Out loud. When you say it out loud, you affirm it. You don't say it in here so nobody will, you won't get embarrassed. Somebody might hear you say something about God. You know, let's get a little cold water on ourselves. We are expected at the throne room. We have to march and walk as though we're expected in the throne room of God. So sometimes we need to say it out loud. And it doesn't matter when everything's going wrong and you're standing in the middle of the gas station and the card reader won't work and you're out of gas. I heard a little metaphor once that really covers it well. Somebody bumped into an individual and they spilled their coffee. And the guy said to him, why'd you spill your coffee? And he said, because you bumped into him. He goes, no, because you have coffee in your cup. You have coffee in your cup. Had you had tea in your cup, you would have spilled tea. So what's in your cup? What's in your cup when you run into a little tough time with God? When you run into a little tough time in your life and you get bumped into, does the old man pop out of your mouth? Or does Jesus pop out of your mouth? That's what we're talking about. Get it in here. Get it in here so you can get it out. Oh, He loves us so much. And He's waiting. He's just waiting to use this church. He's waiting for us all to be all in one accord, moving in one line. And I feel it every day. When I came in here, this church, but now I come in here and the office is packed with people and there's laughter and there's conversation. And I know you've always had it, but it's growing. It's coming back even better. It's coming back even better. We are active in this community. So what I want to tell you here is, because we have very little time, the conclusion of this whole message sometimes we just have to jump to the end of it. Have you ever noticed when you ever read anything by Paul, he has so much finesse for the first two-thirds of it, and then he just gets right up in your face? Well, that's because the time kind of runs out. So the conclusion on this in view of Ezekiel 37, we can discover the divine restoration beyond mere physical restoration. It calls to life and fullness, to proclimate the truth and transform us into unity in Christ, transcending human divisions. Another way of saying it is, I'm called to love you, I don't have to like you. Okay? Not everybody, how many times do we hear that in school? Not everybody's going to be your friends. But you can still work with them to achieve a goal. We're a team. Practical application. Seek restoration in God. Seek restoration in God. Make sure you're right with God before you start asking God to get other people right with you. Other things right with you. Make sure you're right with God. Proclaim the truth. The truth is in the Word. If you don't find in God's Word that He's going to give you a Mercedes-Benz, give it up. And seek unity in Christ. Bottom line is, when we all get to heaven, y'all are going to be my neighbors. And there ain't going to be no not getting along. Seek unity. Now, there is part of this that is something I want you to think about. And if you could take the time to read this chapter, you're going to find that in prayers, if you identify the problem within God's Word and speak out His Word, remind Him of His promises, His mercy, and His grace. That's what He's telling you here. I took Ezekiel into a vision so that I didn't confuse him like Gideon running back and forth to the river and the bushes and wondering whether it's going to work out. No, I showed him an example. God does this when He does visions, when He shows us the future path, how we can use His Word to achieve what we ask God, that we know God, that we expect God, we can always depend upon God to do. Because it's in His Word. Now, the challenge is, can you find a comparison in your New Testament? Let me know. I have. Read it. See if you can, any type of part of the New Testament jump at you. This week, while you're reading, while you're meditating on the Lord, give some thought. I'm constantly reminded that we're not the Old Testament, we're the New Testament. But you're going to find that speaking the Lord's Word over your problems is very much New Testament. Lord, as we go out from your sanctuary, Father, be upon each one of us, be upon our lips, be upon the walls of our heart, Father God. Guide our feet. Let us be led to where you would have us serve, Lord. Let us humbly be emptied out of ourselves and filled with you. Let you go out before us in everything. Lord, be with us in everything. And Lord, most of all, allow us to lay back in the shelter of your arms when we're feeling distressed and concerned, but always, Lord, with the idea that you're going to send us back out into the battle. Amen, amen, and amen. You too, Kathy.
Yeah.
We hope
hope you enjoyed this presentation from First Christian Church, Chehalis. You can find past videos and a collection of music selections by subscribing to our YouTube channel, First Christian Church, Chehalis. You can send offerings that will help us continue this online ministry to the following address: First Christian Church, Chehalis, 111 Northwest Prindle Street, Chehalis, Washington, 98532. You may also call us Tuesday through Friday at 360-748-3702 between the hours of 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.